angels. St. Francis, when residing at Assisi, often visited St. Clare to give her holy counsel, and she, having a great desire to eat once with him, often begged him to grant her this request. But the saint would never allow her this consolation. His companions, therefore, being aware of the refusal of St. Francis, and knowing how great was the wish of Sister Clare to eat with him, went to seek him and thus addressed him. Father, it seems to us that this severity on thy part, in not granting so small a thing to Sister Clare, a virgin so holy and so dear to God, who merely asks for once to eat with thee, is not according to holy charity, especially if we consider how it was at thy preaching that she abandoned the riches and pomps of this world. Of a truth, if she were to ask of thee even a greater grace than this, thou shouldst grant it to thy spiritual daughter. St. Francis answered, It seems to you then that I ought to grant her this request? His companions made answer, Yea, Father, it is meet that thou grant her this favor and this consolation. St. Francis answered, As you think so, let it be so then. But in order that she may be the more consoled, I will let the meal do not take place in front of St. Mary's of the Angels, because, having been for so long time shut up in San Damiano, it will do her good to see the church of St. Mary, wherein she took the veil and was made a spouse of Christ. There, then, we will eat together in the name of God. When the appointed day arrived, St. Clare left her convent with great joy, taking with her one of her sisters, and followed by the companions of St. Francis. She arrived at St. Mary of the Angels, and having devoutly saluted the Virgin Mary, before whose altar her hair had been cut off, and she had received the veil, they conducted her to the convent and showed her all over it. In the meantime, St. Francis prepared the meal on the bare ground, as was his custom. The hour of dinner being arrived, St. Francis and St. Clare, with one of the brethren of St. Francis and the sister who had accompanied the saint, sat down together, all the other companions of St. Francis seated humbly round them. When the first dish was served, St. Francis began to speak of God so sweetly, so sublimely, and in a manner so wonderful, that the grace of God visited them abundantly, and all were wrapped in Christ. Whilst they were thus wrapped, with eyes and hearts raised to heaven, the people of Assisi and of Bitonia, and all the country round about, saw St. Mary of the Angels as it were on fire, with the convent and the woods adjoining. It seemed to them as if the church, the convent, and the woods were all enveloped in flames, and the inhabitants of Assisi hastened with great speed to put out the fire. On arriving at the convent, they found no fire, and entering within the gates, they saw St. Francis, St. Clare, with all their companions, sitting round their humble meal, absorbed in contemplation. Then knew they, of a certainty, that what they had seen was a celestial fire, not a material one, which God miraculously had sent to bear witness to the divine flame of love which consumed the souls of those holy brethren and nuns. And they returned home with great consolation in their hearts and much holy edification. After a long lapse of time, St. Francis, St. Clare, and their companions came back to themselves, and being fully restored by the spiritual food, cared not to eat that which had been prepared for them, so that the holy meal being finished, St. Clare, well accompanied, returned to San Damiano, where the sisters received her with great joy, as they had feared that St. Francis might have sent her to rule some other convent, as he had already sent St. Agnes, the sister of the saint, to be abbess of the convent of Monticelli at Florence. For St. Francis had often said to St. Clare, Be ready in case I send thee to some other convent. And she, like a daughter of holy obedience, had answered, Father, I am always ready to go whithersoever thou shalt send me. For which reason the sisters greatly rejoiced when she returned to them, and St. Clare was from that time much consoled. Chapter 16. How St. Francis, having been told by St. Clare and the holy brother Sylvester that he should preach and convert many to the faith, founded the third order, preached to the birds, and reduced to silence the swallows. The humble servant of Christ, St. Francis, a short time after his conversion, having already assembled and received many brothers into the order, was much troubled and perplexed in mind as to what he ought to do, whether to give himself entirely to prayer or now and then to preach the word. Through his great humility, he had no opinion of himself or of the virtue of his prayers, and wishing to know the will of God, he sought to learn it through the prayers of others. Wherefore he called to him Brother Maceo and thus addressed him, "Go to Sister Claire and bid her from me to set herself with some of the holiest of her sisters to pray the Lord that he may show me clearly whether he wills that I should preach or only keep to prayer. Then go to Brother Sylvester and ask of him the same favor." Now Brother Sylvester had been in the world and was the same who had seen in vision a golden cross come out of St. Francis' mouth, whose height reached up to heaven and its breadth to the farthest extremities of the world. Brother Sylvester was so holy that whatever he asked of God was granted to his prayer, and very often he held converse with the Lord, so that St. Francis revered him greatly. Then Brother Maceo did as St. Francis had commanded him, carrying the message first to St. Clair and then to Brother Sylvester, who set about praying immediately, and having received the answer from the Lord, returned to Brother Maceo and said to him, "The Lord says, go and tell Brother Francis that he has not called him to this state to save merely his own soul, but that he may produce fruits in those of others, and that through him many souls be saved." Having received this answer, Brother Maceo returned to Sister Claire to ask what she had learnt from God, and she told him that she and all her companions had received from God the same answer as the Lord had given to Brother Sylvester. Then Brother Maceo hastened to St. Francis to bring him these answers, and St. Francis received him with great charity, washing his feet and serving him at dinner. When the repast was over, he called Brother Maceo into the forest, and kneeling down before him, put back his hood, and crossing his arms on his breast, he said to him, "What answer dost thou bring me? What does my Lord Jesus Christ order me to do?" Brother Maceo answered, "The Lord Jesus Christ has revealed both to Brother Sylvester and to Sister Claire that it is his will thou should go about the world to preach, for thou hast not been called for thyself alone, but for the salvation of others." Then St. Francis, having received the answer and knowing it to be the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, arose with fervor, saying, "Let us go in the name of God," and taking with him Brother Maceo and Brother Agnolo, both holy men, he let himself be guided by the Spirit of God without considering the road he took. They soon arrived at a town called Severniano, where St. Francis began to preach, first ordering the swallows, who were calling, to keep silence until he had finished, and the swallows obeyed his voice. He preached with such fervor that the inhabitants of the town wished to follow him out of devotion, but St. Francis would not allow them, saying, "Be not in such haste, and leave not your homes. I will tell you what you must do to save your souls." Thereupon he founded the Third Order for the salvation of all, and leaving them much consoled and well disposed to do penance, he departed thence and reached a spot between Caneo and Vivagno. And as he went on his way with great fervor, St. Francis lifted up his eyes and saw on some trees by the wayside a great multitude of birds. And being much surprised, he said to his companions, "Wait for me here by the way, whilst I go and preach to my little sisters the birds." And entering into the field, he began to preach to the birds which were on the ground. And suddenly all those also on the tree came round him, and all listened while St. Francis preached to them, and did not fly away until he had given them his blessing. And Brother Maceo related afterwards to Brother James of Nysa how St. Francis went among them and even touched them with his garments, and how none of them moved. Now the substance of the sermon was this: "My little sisters, the birds, ye owe much to God, your Creator, and ye ought to sing his praise at all times and in all places, because he has given you liberty to fly about into all places. And though ye neither spin nor sew, He has given you a twofold and a threefold clothing for yourself and for your offspring. Two of all your species he sent into the ark with Noah, that you might not be lost to the world. Besides which, he feeds you, though ye neither sow nor reap. Mountains and rivers to quench your thirst, mountains and valleys in which to take refuge, and trees in which to build your nests, so that your Creator loves you much, having thus favored you with such bounties. He has given you fountains and rivers to quench your thirst, mountains and valleys in which to take refuge, and trees in which to build your nests, so that your Creator loves you much, having thus favored you with such bounties. Beware, my little sisters, of the sin of ingratitude, and study always to give praise to God. As he said these words, all the birds began to open their beaks, to stretch their necks, to spread their wings, and reverently to bow their heads to the ground, endeavoring by their motions and by their songs to manifest their joy to St. Francis. And the saint rejoiced with them. He wondered to see such a multitude of birds and was charmed with their beautiful variety, with their attention and familiarity, for all which he devoutly gave thanks to the Creator. Having finished his sermon, St. Francis made the sign of the cross and gave them leave to fly away. Then all those birds rose up into the air, singing most sweetly, and following the sign of the cross which St. Francis had made, they divided themselves into four companies. One company flew toward the east, another toward the west, one towards the south, and one towards the north, each company as it went singing most wonderfully, signifying thereby that as St. Francis, the bearer of the cross of Christ, had preached to them and made upon them the sign of the cross, after which they had divided among themselves the four parts of the world, so the preaching of the cross of Christ, renewed by St. Francis, would be carried by him and by his brethren over all the world, and that the humble friars, like little birds, should possess nothing in this world, but should cast all the care of their lives on the providence of God. Chapter 17. How a little child who had entered the order saw St. Francis in prayer one night, and saw also the Savior, the Virgin Mary, and many other saints talk with him. A certain pure and innocent child was received into the order during the lifetime of St. Francis, and the convent in which he lived was so small that the monks were obliged to sleep on mats. It chanced that St. Francis came one day to that convent, and in the evening after compline he went to rest, so as to rise up early to pray, as was his custom, when all the other friars were still asleep. The said little child had made up his mind carefully to watch St. Francis, to learn something of his sanctity, and find out more especially what he did in the night when he got up, and in order that he might not be overtaken by sleep, he laid him down by St. Francis, tying the end of the cord he wore around his waist to the one which the saint wore, so that he was sure of being awakened when the latter got up in the night. And this he did so gently that St. Francis was not aware of his contrivance. When all the other friars were fast asleep, St. Francis rose from sleep, and finding the child's cord tied to his own, he carefully untied it, so as not to awake him, and went alone into the wood which was near the convent. Entering into a little cell which was there, he began to pray. Shortly after, the child awoke, and finding St. Francis gone and the cord untied, he rose up quickly and went to seek him. Perceiving the door open which led to the wood, he thought St. Francis had gone that way, and entering into the wood and hurrying on to the little cell, he heard the sound of many voices. Approaching near to hear and see whence they came, he saw a great and wonderful light all round the saint. And in the light was Jesus Christ with the Virgin Mary, St. John the Baptist, St. John the Evangelist, and a great multitude of angels all talking with St. Francis. On seeing this, the child fell to the ground as if he had been dead. The miracle of this holy vision being ended, St. Francis rose to return to the convent, and stumbling in the way against the child, who appeared to be dead, with great compassion he took him up in his arms and carried him in his bosom, as the good shepherd is wont to carry his lambs. Having learned from him how he had seen the vision, he forbade him to tell any man thereof so long as he, St. Francis, lived. The little child grew up in the grace of God and had a great devotion to St. Francis. He became one of the most distinguished men of the order. And after the death of St. Francis, he related the vision to the brethren. Chapter 18. Of the wonderful chapter held by St. Francis at St. Mary of the Angels, at which more than 5,000 friars were present. The faithful servant of Christ, St. Francis, once held a general chapter at St. Mary of the Angels, at which chapter more than 5,000 friars were present. Amongst them also was St. Dominic, the head and founder of the Order of Friars Preachers, who chanced to be on his way from Bologna to Rome. For having heard of the chapter which St. Francis had called together in the plain of St. Mary of the Angels, he went there with 7 friars of his order. A certain cardinal also, much devoted to St. Francis, to whom the saint had foretold that he would one day be pope, came expressly from Perugia to Assisi, and every day he went to visit St. Francis and his brethren. Sometimes he sang Mass and preached to them, and each time the said cardinal visited the holy company, he experienced much pleasure and devotion. Seeing the friars all seated in the plain round St. Mary of the Angels, in groups, here 40, there 100, and elsewhere 80, all occupied in conversing about God, or in prayer, or in works of charity, seeing them all so silent and so grave, and wondering how such a multitude could be so orderly, he was moved to tears and exclaimed with great devotion, "Truly, this is the field of God. This is the army, and these are the knights of the Lord." No vain or useless word was to be heard in all that multitude. Each group of friars was engaged either in prayer or saying their office, in weeping over their sins and those of their benefactors, or in reasoning on the salvation of souls. Many tents made of mats had been pitched in that field, divided in groups according to the different provinces from whence the friars came, so that this chapter was called the Chapter of Mats. The friars had no other beds but the bare ground, with here and there a little straw. For pillows they had stones or pieces of wood, for which reasons they were held in much devotion, and so great was the fame of their sanctity, that many came to see and hear them from the court of the Pope, which was at Perugia, and from other parts of the valley of Spoleto. Many counts and barons, many knights and other gentlemen, many cardinals, bishops, and abbots, many priests, and much people, came to see this great and holy and humble congregation, for the world had never yet witnessed so many holy men assembled together, and most especially they went thither to see the saintly founder, the father of the order, who had taken from the world so many gifted men, and had formed so beautiful and devout a flock to follow the steps of the true pastor, Jesus Christ. The chapter being assembled, St. Francis, the father of all these holy men, expounded with great fervor of spirit the word of God, speaking to them in a loud voice that which the Holy Spirit dictated. Now the subject he took for his sermon was this: "My children, we have promised great things to God, and God has promised even greater things to us. If we observe what we have promised him, we shall certainly receive what he has promised to us. The pleasures of this world pass quickly away, but the punishment which follows them is eternal. The sufferings of this world are trifling, but the glory of the life to come is without bounds." In preaching on these words most devoutly, he comforted the brethren, encouraging them to holy obedience, to reverence for Holy Mother Church, to charity among themselves, to pray God for all people, to bear with patience the adversities of life, to be temperate in prosperity, to keep angelic purity and chastity, to be at peace with God, with men, and with their own conscience, to love, to observe, and to practice holy poverty. He then added, "I command you all here present, through holy obedience, to take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or of aught else that is necessary to the body, but only to meditate, to pray, and to praise God, casting on him the thought of all the rest, for he has you all in his special care. And let each of you receive this command with a happy heart and a joyful countenance." St. Francis, having finished his sermon, all the friars began to pray. Yet St. Dominic, who was present, wondered much at this order of St. Francis, considering it as indiscreet, for he could not understand how such a great multitude could exist without taking thought for the body. But the heavenly pastor, our blessed Savior, wishing to show the care he takes of his lambs, and with what singular love he loves his poor servants, put into the hearts of all the people of Perugia, of Spoleto, of Foligno, of Spello,